Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you today. I trust you've had a successful week, and we've come today to worship the Lord. We want you to know that you're wanted, you're needed, you're welcome. Always we come together to ask God to bless his people. That's why we're here today. Before we begin, let's look at a few announcements. You see them listed in the bulletin on Mondays, Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project 9 to 12. That's to support the veterans. On Thursdays, 10 a.m., February 29th, Bible study. And next Sunday morning will be the men's prayer breakfast, March the 3rd, 7:30 a.m. We've been having a good turnout. If you've not been coming, you need to come with us. Over in the fellowship hall, we'll have a great breakfast and a good time of fellowship as we pray for the needs in our community. Also, you see church boards have your nominees ready for the coming year, and get those in. If you need the facility, see Donna, her number's listed. Do we have any other announcements? You might smell an odor this morning. Anybody? Okay. We don't know 100% what it is, but we believe it's not gas. So we've had the fire department come out and check with a meter. So we think maybe a creature has got up under the building and passed on to the heavenlies. So we hope to get that out of here this coming week. Bear with us. Okay, let's stand together and read responsively the reading in the bulletin. While you're standing, the choir's going to do the call to worship because I forgot that. Sing along. Come on. How about that? Of reading, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
We gather as a community to worship God.
To be reminded of God's goodness.
To be reminded of God being a part of that goodness.
To be reminded to share God's goodness.
Let us worship God.
Lord, it is with humility but yet boldness that we enter today into this place of worship. We, your people, we do praise your holy name and thank you for all of the benefits of living for you. Many times we only see a few of them, but we live in abundance each and every day because you bless us from your riches in heaven. As we come today, we worship you. We pray that our hearts will meet with you through the power of your Spirit, that we'll be anointed, that we can be a part of that great goodness, the goodness of God, and share it with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 648. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Yeah.
You may be seated. Selena Gray has our scriptures this morning.
Our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass, but Saul said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. And then our New Testament reading comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So
continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember this morning?
I remember Kirby Page.
Kirby Page, okay.
Remember our country.
Okay.
Loretta Morgan and Alan J.
Loretta Morgan and Alan J. Okay. Any others?
Marie.
Okay. And Rhonda. Okay. Any others? Can you remember Greg? Pray for one another. And there are many needs listed on the back of the bulletin. As you pray this week, lift those up. And let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Spread your blessing on those this one is sick with, the names that are called out, and heal them, strengthen them, and Lord, be with the families who are able to deal with all this pain and suffering right now. We're weak, Lord. We need you, and we ask you this morning to be with us today, this hour.
So turning our hymnals to 295, we're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Most precious, sweet.
Father, this is a time that we can take our money, our gains that we have gained this week, place it into your hands. We thank you so much for that. It becomes yours. It becomes a chance for you to build your kingdom, to serve your people. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. We love you. We say this in your name, Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. May be seated. Our scripture text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 through 23. Selena has read that for us this morning. Great story, isn't it? Kind of keeps you on your edge, just waiting to see what's going to happen in that story. And we want to look at that this morning. Our thought this morning is what God doesn't see in you. Here in the 16th chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel, we read the story of how David was anointed king. God spoke to Samuel the prophet, and he told him in verse 1, he says, I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, and I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Now, it's always a major chore to elect leaders, isn't it? I mean, not just local, but I'm even on a national or a worldly scale, when people have to decide on who they want to lead them and how they want them to spend their money they give them. But in this story, we see that Samuel, really all he had to do was do as God instructed, because God had already chosen the man. Did you get that? I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So Samuel, he went to see Jesse, and he told him to gather all of his sons together so they could join him in this sacrifice. And when Jesse and his sons arrived, Samuel saw the eldest, Eliab, and he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his height. I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So evidently this son was a big old, nice, strong, muscled up looking guy. Big, tall, and stature. Boy, that's who we need to lead us, you know, to tell us what to do, you know. But Samuel had to break them all down when the Lord said, that's not the one. So Samuel worked his way through all these sons. Yes, he had 7 of them. And each time he thought that this might be the one, the Lord would tell him, the Lord has not chosen this one. None of the 7. So Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse said, no, we got the youngest one now. We've got him, and but he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him, because we're not going to do anything else until he arrives. So when David got there, the Lord spoke to Samuel. In verse 12, it says, arise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the scripture says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. This passage of scripture teaches us some things about the wisdom and the grace of God, and how he chooses people to use for his glory. We're reminded here that when God looks at us, there are things that he sees, and there's some things that he doesn't see. And that's what we want to talk about, take a look at this morning. Church, I want you to know today that God doesn't see you as others see you. Others see you according to their limited knowledge, their minimal understanding. But God sees you as you really are. And more importantly, church, God sees you for what he created you to be and what you can become. Now, people may see in you the same things that David's family saw in him. But I want you to know that God doesn't see you that way. Today, I want to talk about 3 things that God does not see in you. The first thing being, God does not see you as unnecessary. One of the most telling aspects of this story is the fact that Jesse brought his sons to Samuel to be evaluated as to which one would be the potential king. And I want you to notice that David was not even included in this original lineup. He was left with the sheep. Apparently, in Jesse's opinion, David was so unlikely to be named king that he was left out of the equation completely. As far as his family was concerned, David was unnecessary. We see this again in the following chapter when Goliath was defying the armies of Israel. David came to the scene of the battle, and he was scolded by his brothers for showing up. His brother Eliab said to him, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep with in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here so you could watch the battle. I wonder how David felt as his brother and his family looked at him that way. Have you ever been told that you were not needed? I think we've all been in situations where we've been told either directly or indirectly by those in charge that we have really nothing to offer to the situation. Maybe you've been told your help isn't needed, or your idea is not wanted, or you're unnecessary to what is trying to be accomplished, or we can get by without you. People may look at you and I this way. but not God. How about this? Have you ever implied to someone that what they had to offer was unnecessary? Now, I know none of y'all has ever done that. Maybe directly or indirectly. Listen, in God's eyes, you're not unnecessary. You're so important to God. You're so valuable to God. Not only did he create you and did he just sustain you here on this earth, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. I mean, you can't get more necessary than that, can you? God hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on you. God doesn't leave you out. There is something that God can use you for. There's a contribution that you can make to the great kingdom of God. And I believe today that the Lord wants to come upon you with the power of his Holy Spirit, just like David, to empower you to do the great things that will bring glory and honor to God and magnify his kingdom here in the now today. Amen?
Amen.
God doesn't see you as unnecessary. We all have a place in the body of Christ. And the body needs everyone. I need everything in my body to work together for my good. And the church is the same way. We need every member of the body working to magnify and glorify God. Number two, God doesn't see you as having age limitations. After Samuel had seen Jesse's older sons, he asked in verse 11. Now he's done seen all the older ones. They had all come up and been courted before him. And Samuel said, no, none of these are the ones. Is this all you've got? And Jesse said, there is still the youngest, but he's tending the sheep. Jesse knew that one of his sons would be anointed king by the prophet Samuel. But David wasn't considered because of his age. As far as Jesse was concerned, David was too young to be a king. But you know what? He wasn't too young as far as God is concerned. You know, in some ways today, we allow our youth to grow up too fast. They're exposed to some experiences long, way before they should be. But in other ways, we allow them to grow up too slowly. We're often guilty of telling them you're just a kid. What could you hope to accomplish at your age? Beloved, there's countless opportunities. Young people, there's countless opportunities to serve the Lord and have great contributions to the kingdom of God. Things of kingdom value. And you need not look far to see many occasions to serve and minister to people right here in this church in our own community. Just as God was able to use David, God can use young people to minister to people in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing to see what a young person can accomplish when they seize the opportunity to be used by God. Our mission should be to tell every young person that God wants to use them to build his kingdom in a great, mighty way. We should encourage them and help them and mentor them and invest in them, because you're never too young to serve the Lord. Now, let me add something quickly here. You're never too old either to make a difference. There might be a time when we retire from our jobs, but we'll never retire, or we'll never come to retirement age when it comes to serving the Lord. We'll never outlive our usefulness for God. Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83 when God called them and said, look, boys, I want y'all to go down there and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. And Abraham was 100 when he and Sarah had their son Isaac, just as God had promised. Anna was 84 years old, and the Bible says she never left the temple but worshiped day and night, praying and fasting for the nation and the people of God. John Glenn orbited outer space at 70 years old. Norman Vincent Peale preached until his death at 98. Strong Thurmond served Congress well into his 90s. He left office at age 100. You'll never outlive your usefulness. Others may see your age as something that limits you when it comes to serving God, but not God. When God calls you, He empowers you and He equips you with His Holy Spirit, and His power transcends any limit any human may place on your life. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? The third thing is, God doesn't see you as having limited possibilities. The things that seem impossible with man are possible with God. And I could stop right there because that's enough. The things we think are impossible, God can make possible. Samuel asked about David and was told, there's still the youngest one down there, but he's just taking care of his sheep. Tending sheep. That's all they thought David was good for. They didn't see his possibilities. They didn't see his courage. They didn't see his leadership skills. They didn't see his patience. They didn't see his persistence. They knew nothing of his passion. They didn't understand how his close relationship with God would give him courage and strength to face giants that a nation would run from. They couldn't have guessed that in the very near future, David would boldly stand before Goliath on a battlefield and win one of the greatest victories in Israel's history. They didn't know that David would lead a mighty band of warriors, victory after victory. They didn't know that David would govern his people with the hand of God upon his life. They were not able to envision a young man of God who would play for kings and would pen psalm after psalm after psalm of praise and worship and adoration for God. Psalms that will be sung and are sung even today and recited day after day and week after week. All they knew about David, all they were able to perceive, all they ever dreamed possible that David would ever be able to do was he was just a brother who took care of the sheep while they applied for the job of being the king. Now, you may be tempted to see yourself the same way. Maybe just a school teacher or just a construction worker or just a businessman or just a student or a nurse or a musician or maybe just a farmer or just a retired person or any number of other self-limiting concepts. But God doesn't see you according to your limitations. Praise God, He sees you according to your possibilities. You can stretch beyond the limits of your job description. God can accomplish great things through your life. God can use you to build His great kingdom today and tomorrow. Now, church, God can empower you to rise above and beyond the limits that people have placed upon your life. Amen?
Amen?
That's why we come to praise Him in His house today. And in conclusion, this is a story not as much about David and Samuel as it is about God. It teaches us how God wants to interact with His people. It's not so much about what we can do for God, but what God can do through us. Many times we limit ourselves based on how we feel we're limited. If you're one of those people who count themselves out because you feel limited or undeserving or not good enough. I'd say to you today that you're ripe for God to use you in ways you never, ever dreamed possible. God doesn't see your limitations, neither is He concerned with them. They have no effect upon His almighty power. So the question is this, maybe. What does God see in you? These are the words that God spoke to Samuel in verse 7. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God sees in you what others can't see. He sees your heart. The world may judge you according to your looks or according to your money, according to your status, or according to many number of other things. But God looks at what really matters. He looks at your heart. Jesus said, it's not out of the mouth that things come, but it's from the heart. It's as simple as this. When your heart belongs to Him, He can use you. Verse 13 said, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Jesus ascended into heaven, He sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is God's full provision for our lives. He's not looking for someone who's talented or someone who is accomplished. He's looking for someone who has a heart filled with His Holy Spirit. And then He can empower us to do what needs to be done. God wants to pour Himself all over you with His Holy Spirit to demonstrate to the world that He's relevant and real and alive today. So our challenge today is to give God our heart. Father, we thank You today for this story. As we come before You, we confess that many times we limit ourselves based upon what we've been taught, what we've learned, or maybe even tradition. But today, Father, we want to live an unlimited life. Give our hearts to You. Confess that we need You to cover our sins and empower us to be the people You created us to be. Help us to pray this prayer this morning, Lord, and to look to You in complete faith and trust. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all turn to hymn number 673, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone.
Oh,
thank you for the spring in the spirit of worship. Carry that same spirit of worship into the world and look to God to bless us and use us in ways he deems necessary. Does anyone have anything to say before we leave?
Yes, it's gotten new. Look. I'm excited. Thursday is League Day of Prayer, and many of you signed up. That's great. If you haven't and you want to, I got a list. And if you pick a time that there's somebody else here, that's great. Just pick you a corner and pray. And if you forgot it, check the list what your time is. There will be lists up here, and when you come, just take one and get in your corner and pray, and you run out and just sit here and listen to God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, remember our prayer team. If you want to join our prayer team, we're looking for prayer warriors all the time. And if you have a prayer request for our prayer team, maybe that you don't want on the big list, our prayer request would keep confidential. So, that's my script.
Thanks for the challenge and the opportunities. All right. Anyone else? Don't forget the men's prayer breakfast next Sunday morning, 7:30, and the other announcements, okay? All right. Billy, would you dismiss us?
Better vessels.